Love the sound of little footsteps. I love the sound of kids in church. I love to hear them sing and worship. I love when they get carried away. I think it's fantastic. I appreciate families that we have who are coming in and bringing their kids. And I would just encourage you to find more just like yourselves and bring them in. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. We thank God for you. Have any of you ever had the experience where something happened or you noticed something that to anyone else probably would have seemed very, very minor, but it had a significance because you knew that it meant far more than it appeared to mean? Kind of a green sprout sort of a thing. I have a real praise to give to God. 2 days ago, I was writing out a check. How many of you ever do that? I don't write a lot of them anymore. The ones I write generally are either to the church or to a doctor. And I was writing that check, and suddenly I realized something which would mean probably nothing to you if I didn't explain it. My handwriting was perfect. Now, at first, I just thought, what is this odd thing? What hath happened? Because a year ago plus, I was in the early stages of recovery from a stroke. And I noticed right away when I had that stroke, the first time I tried to sign my name, I could barely get the pen to go anywhere on the paper that it wanted to go. So I figured that probably my signature was shot. It just was what it was. And then I looked at that flawlessly written signature the other day, and I realized my brain is still healing. I guess I wouldn't have realized that. Apparently, you know, it's the big stuff first, and it works its way down to the smaller things and so on. My brain is still healing. There may be hope for me yet. I do really mean that. I knew it took about a year. And so at the 1 year point, I just thought, well, wherever I'm at, that's probably about the extent of the healing, but I'm still healing. So I thank God for that. And I thank you for your prayers. Yeah. We get good news once in a while. I asked Rita how she was feeling today, and she told me she is cancer-free. Amen. Every once in a while, God begins to work in a way where it seems as if he's laying the same stuff on a lot of different hearts. Back years ago in Grant, I would have times that people would come to me and they would say, so have you been listening to Charles Stanley preach or Chuck Swindoll preach? And the answer to that is no. I don't listen to other guys preach all that much. And while you're preaching exactly the same things that he is preaching right now, I had that experience Thursday. I do a Bible study with a local business, and one of the men after it was done came to me and he asked if I had been listening to so-and-so, and I really had no idea who it was. And he said, well, the things that you're teaching are exactly what he is teaching about right now. I think sometimes the answer is, well, we're living in the same world. we're responding to the same things. And when it comes to the topic that I am going to speak on today, there's a bit of that involved, a shelter from the storm. Tom has the seminar going on this afternoon. If you did not catch it when Pastor Mitch said it twice, it's from 3 to 5. And he is prepared, he's ready to go, he's excited about it, I am. And I have a message that God laid on my heart that is really quite closely related to that. But you shouldn't hear the message and think, well, I don't need to come in and spend time this afternoon. God is dovetailing truth together. And Judy sent me a letter the other day, Judy, you can be eloquent at times. I don't know if you knew that about her. She can be eloquent. And she sent me like a 2-page letter with some other materials. She was curious as to whether the teaching that she does is going to dovetail with the teaching that Tom will be doing this afternoon. And the message I have today, and the answer is yes, pretty much perfectly. But then I found myself listening to discussion in the Sunday school hour, and the discussion tracked right in exactly the same direction. And so it must be that God has a message for us. I will go one step further at the risk of scaring you. It did occur to me that if God is bringing that same message from every direction, it must be that a storm is coming. It must be that a storm is coming. I want to share with you on the theme of shelter from the storm, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. This story is about the limitless power of God, the deceptiveness of circumstances, and the safety and security in which believers walk. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." So, a couple of thoughts broken down into a few other thoughts that pull in a direction for us today. I want to say the safety and security that believers experience in Christ is absolute. I want to say that again. The safety and security that believers experience in Christ is absolute. Now, you might think to yourself, "Well, Pastor, I know a lot of bad things that happen." The safety and security you have in Christ is absolute. Nothing comes into your life that has not first passed through the hands of God. Nothing happens that God does not allow. And so we can look at this with his disciples. They had that sense that things were out of control. How many of you get there? Maybe you feel that way right now. Things are out of control. I want to say there is a great difference between things being out of your control and things being out of God's control. There is a great deal of difference in how we look at life and how we interpret the things that happen in our lives, depending on that center question, where is God in the picture in our life? The fact of the matter is, God is always present in my life, and God is in control, and He at times allows me to have a measure of what I believe is my own control. But very swiftly, things can change, and I become very much aware that life is not in my control at all. It is in God's. But when that happens, the temptation for me is typically to feel as if, wow, everything is going crazy. And you may have that thought, everything is going wrong. And so I want you to look further into this with me. The disciples were safe when they didn't feel safe, because perception and reality are not the same thing. I've been on a kick for several years now. A man made a statement in Grant, Michigan, in a coffee shop. I disagreed with it at that point. I had heard the same thing from a number of other people, and sometimes things just don't go down the right way. Do any of you ever have something that someone would say that the way Theodore Roosevelt put it was like trying to swallow a porcupine wrong end first? It just sort of stuck in my throat, the thing that was said. What was said was, perception is reality. And I found myself really, really annoyed by that. That's the society that we live in today. People believe that. They subscribe to that. What matters, many years ago, Joe Kennedy said this. He said, it's not who you are that counts, it's who people think you are that counts. And when I heard those words in that coffee shop in Grant, I found myself almost spitting my coffee out. And I said, and I quote, perception is not reality. Reality is reality. A perception may well be a deception. A perception may be completely and utterly based on something that would not be the truth. And here are Jesus' disciples. They're in the boat. Their perception is, we're going to die. In reality, they were not about to die. And so there is a difference between what they feel and what the truth is. In your life sometimes, that's exactly what happens. Your feelings get caught up in a moment. You have some fear that passes through your mind. It creates a feeling within you, and that feeling begins to rule you. And God would deliver you from that feeling. He would replace that with a rock. And the rock of truth in our lives is that God is, and that God loves, and that God is in control, not some of the time. All of the time, no matter what is going on in your life. Well, I was counting on this, and it's been delayed. And because it's been delayed, oh, it's messing everything up. No, it's straightening everything out. Your timing is wrong. God's is never wrong. How many times have you seen that? You have to wait. You think it's a terrible thing to wait. And then you watch as God brings things together, and it's so much better than what you ever could have imagined. So there is a great deal of difference. We look back in this matter of safety. The storm around the disciples created a storm within them, but didn't create anything that would be allowed to destroy them. Well, God will never allow anything to come into your life that you can't handle. How many of you have ever been told that? Some of you know my view on that. Yes, he will. God will never allow anything to come into your life that he can't handle. He allows things to come into your life that you can't handle because that's who he is. He is God, and he wants us to remember that he is God. He wants us to worship him. He wants to be glorified. And so quite often in my life, he allows things to come in that I can't handle except through this. I pray, I give it to God, and I wait for God to work. The disciples weren't safe because of the size or strength of the boat, but because of who was in the boat with them. We Westerners build great big boats. We do physically, but we also do in other areas of our life. Financially, we believe our security is in the size of our savings. Physically, we believe our safety is in how carefully we monitor our diets. I read something a couple of days ago about cancer, and this might change a few of the things that you've been led to believe. Studies have shown now that about two-thirds of all cancers are random. That is, they're not a result of your lifestyle choices. It's just a matter of random mutations in the DNA every time they replicate themselves, the cells within your body. In other words, it can come when you don't expect it and in spite of all the caution and preparation you have taken. I noticed something years ago about people who were like excessively driven to measure every fat gram and so on in their diet, and to measure every gram of carbohydrate that goes into their diet. Now, I'm not saying to a healthy point, I'm saying obsessively driven. Larry from Grant comes to mind. Larry, if you ever hear this message, don't wonder if it's some other Larry, it's you. Measure meticulously the fat grams and so on. And he asked me one day why I didn't. I said, Larry, it's because I've noticed something. I said, in my family tree, I said, everybody dies. I said, it's just something, I said, that seems to run in my family. I don't know about yours. And we joked about that over the years. I said, okay, I said, you do take better care of yourself than I do, but I said, Larry, if you've got the genes for high cholesterol, I'm thinking you're probably going to have a problem with it eventually, no matter what you do. The day came that he came to me, Larry did. He said, well, you were right. About what? Cholesterol. Yeah? Mine's high. I said, Larry, it's impossible. You don't eat any of that stuff. The doctor said it was hereditary. Oh. Oh. Now, I'm not saying be irresponsible. You understand? What I'm saying is, we want to believe we can get control in our lives. If we do the right things, we will get the right results. If we have enough money in the savings account, if we take enough care of our health, if we do all the right things, we think physically, now I don't have to worry. Bad things won't happen to me. But bad things happen in spite of that. And your security will never be found in all of those things. Your security is simply in this, the presence of God in your life. That's where it lies. God will never allow his purposes or his plans to be destroyed. If I were one of the disciples, I honestly believe that this thought would have crossed my mind. If he is the chosen one of Israel, and I'm in the same boat with him, nothing's going to happen to me because God is going to get that man to the other side of this lake. I know in my life that there is nothing that is going to happen to me that isn't the will of God. John Wesley put it this way. You know, we Wesleyans quote Wesley once in a while. John Wesley said, "Until God is finished with me, I am immortal." Young man from Grant said that years ago after he'd returned from a mission trip. I felt bad about it because I thought, Bob, why didn't I know that John Wesley had said that? But now I do. Until God is finished with me, I am immortal. You might say, but Pastor, God's plans in my life aren't all that important to me. I believe probably we ought to live our lives in such a way that God finds it easy to have a plan for our life. I had a person come to me a few years ago. I say things once in a while, you know, just to shock people and make them think. He came to me and he asked me if I would pray for his healing. And I said, "Would you give me a reason why?" And he looked at me. Well, because I'm sick. Okay? So you want God to touch you? Yeah. Why? What do you mean by that? Why? Have you given God a reason to heal you? Have you given God a reason? Folk, have you given God a reason to value each day of your life? You might say, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, maybe it doesn't. But isn't it good to know when God is working through you? And isn't it good that you can know that he has a purpose for your life and he is going to fulfill that purpose and he is not going to allow anything to come to you that is going to destroy that purpose in your life? I know that God has a purpose in my life, so I don't worry about things that some other people worry about. Maybe I should. I worry about your driving. When I pass you on the road, I worry about drivers, other drivers. I know that things can happen. I understand that. I have life insurance. I prepare for things. But what I am saying is God has this all in his hands. Well, I'm afraid that I might die before God is able to use me. No, you won't. No. Well, pressing on. The safety and security that believers experience in Christ is also all-encompassing. Every part of our beings is affected. The hand of God protects us physically, and that's the example I've been giving. But the blood of Jesus Christ protects us spiritually. When the storms begin to rage and your faith is under attack and Satan comes and he asks you, of what value are you? Your answer is, I was worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Where does your value lie? Jesus Christ gave his very life for me. Now, did he give his life for you? If he gave his life for you, would you raise your hand? I'm making a point here. Then we are all worth exactly the same thing in the eyes of God. You can never do anything that is truly going to add to that value. We're worth the same. The blood of Jesus Christ And he does not take that investment lightly. He cares for it. He watches over you. His plan, again, his purposes are riding in the car with you when you go down the road. When you believe that your physical existence is being threatened, your life is in the hands of God. But spiritually, when Satan wants to destroy you, the answer isn't to look for more power within yourself. It's to turn to the cross of Jesus Christ and there to rest, to find rest for your soul, because God has stated his love so very eloquently at that cross. And the love of God protects us emotionally. If you ever have a time that you are feeling unloved, understand that God loves you deeply and unconditionally and exquisitely. He loves you extravagantly. When we talk to other human beings about love, a lot of the time we come back to, well, what have I done to earn that person's love? Your spouse may ask, do you love me? That's not good, by the way. If they ask you if you love them, it must be that you're running behind the curve. But they may ask you, do you love me? And your answer, if you're a good spouse, even if you're just smart, your answer is going to be, I do love you. I love you with all of my heart. You know the question that comes next, right? Why? Because that's as deep sometimes our concept of love goes. That love is a response to the person or thing being loved. Why? Well, because you're beautiful. That's a good start. Because you do so many great things for me. That's a better answer. Because you are my companion and my partner. Good, very good. You're getting warm. As a believer, at some point I ought to be allowed to say this. I love you because I'm a loving person. And my love has to have an object. And you are the object of my love. I heard the word Hallmark. It ought to be true in your life. You're connected to God, and he wants to fill your heart with love, but his heart is full of love toward you. Well, Lord, prove it. He did. In this, God has commended his love for us, that he gave himself for us. He gave himself and went to the cross. That's heavy duty. That's proof enough for an eternity. Well, Lord, I'm not sure you still mean it. Would you die for me again? You know how silly that sounds. God loves you. I find security in his love. I'll admit, I've had a love-hate relationship with the issue of security for many years. Some days I feel insecure. Can I say that? I said it, I guess. So some days I feel insecure. Do you ever feel that way? Most of the time I don't. But I always have this. I have the reality that I'm secure whether I feel that way or not. And I can go back to the rock of the truth of God. I'm secure in Him. Satan can't take away my faith. He can't take away my hope. He can't take away my assurance. Circumstances can't rob me of my peace. They can't rob me of the joy that God puts within me. The only person who could ever do that would be me. And I'm not going to. It's simple. We make it complicated. We make it hard. So what about all these emotions that we feel when we're being tossed to and fro? There are just times that you need to understand the emotions will lie. Your feelings will lie to you. And you have to be able to step back and look at facts and find the rock of reality and of truth in your life. Perception isn't reality, remember. Reality is reality, and reality is God. I'd like you to stand with me as we close. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can put our faith and our trust in you. And as you've said in your word, it's a hope that maketh not ashamed. We will not be disappointed. We will not be proven to have been wrong. We will simply prove over and over and over again as we lean on you and rely on you that you are perfectly trustworthy. You will be with us through the very valley of the shadow of death. You will be with us through sickness, through injury, through financial distress, through job loss, through the breaking of a deep relationship, through heartache, through war. No matter what this life brings, you will be there and it will be in your hands. And if you choose to call us home to be with you, it will be your hands that we can lie ourselves down into and allow you to lift us and carry us through the gates. Lord, I thank you for what you have done and the assurance you have given me and for what lies behind it. And I pray that every person here might have that same assurance that it's found only in Christ. I pray that if someone is here today and does not have it, that they might call out upon you and ask you to come into their life, into their heart, so that they can. Lord, please, please make your home in our hearts. Is God speaking to you? Do you want to ask him into your heart today? I'd like you to close your eyes if they aren't already, so you can give the person around you privacy. Do you need to ask the Lord into your heart and life right now? If you do, just slip up your hand for a moment and let me see it. You can open your eyes if you want to and look at me so we make eye contact. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your call in our lives is still real. And I just pray that anyone who is in the service right now who wants to find salvation in you will find enough hope and enough faith in their life to reach out to you and to take hold of you and all your great and precious promises and to bring them into their heart. to wrap them up in their arms, to wrap them up in their own will as they choose to respond to your grace and to appropriate it for themselves. We thank you for you and your love and your care, your mercy and your salvation. I pray that you'll watch over us until we return here this afternoon to learn what the storms of life can teach us and how we can grow through them. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.